Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move further proceedings and the roll call be dispensed with. Sergeant Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The sergeant is instructed to bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Obi Ballinger from Community United Church of Christ in St. Paul Park. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us join together in a spirit of prayer. O God of wisdom, your one light blesses creation throughout this land of sky-tinted waters. As senators gather to conduct the business of this day, bring to mind every part and sacred person of this state, north to south, east to west, metro to greater Minnesota, all illumined by your light. Let the North Star of truth be revealed in the work of these leaders and their staff today. As we seek your blessing, stir the conscience of these servants with the weighty responsibility of their elected calling. Keep them humble when tempted to forsake the oath of service and pursue narrow or partisan ends. In your kindness, grant them freedom from the concerns of campaigns and contributions, which naturally curve the mind to favor some and forsake others. Lay on their hearts the stories of those least able to lobby and most in need of their righteous favor. Reveal creative alternatives in situations where your servants feel they must settle for the lesser evil instead of rising to a greater good. O source of light, when day fades to night, send all your people to bed with the reassurance that hard work done well gladdens your spirit and extends your compassion. Fix the imperfections that remain at day's end until that daybreak when all your people and all this beautiful creation gathers in your everlasting light. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fishbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Lori, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J., Peterson B., Pratt, Reiner, Rest, Rosen, Rude, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Uyghur, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. We move first to the fifth order of business, reports of committee. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted with the exception of the report pertaining to Joint Rule 2.03.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Seventh order of business, second reading of House bills. The bills printed on the agenda will be given their second readings. Eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The bills listed on today's introduction calendar are given their first reading and referred as indicated. Ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. These are author motions that will be adopted as one motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Herr.
Madam President, I move that Senate File 2483 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and given a second reading and place it on general orders.
This is your bill?
This is my bill, and both chair are aware of this.
The finance chair is aware, and could you just give us a sentence or two about the bill?
I'd like to ask Senator Marty if can mention about the bill.
Senator Marty.
Madam President, our committee actually referred the bill to the floor, but somehow by clerical error it went to Finance Committee, so we're just sending it back to the floor, which is what the committee recommendation was.
Okay. On her motion, all those in Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam President. Could we just have that one sentence about the bill?
We did not. Senator Marty said it was accidentally sent to Finance and should have gone to the floor. Do you want to tell us what the bill is about, either Senator Marty or Senator Herr? Senator Herr.
Madam President, I think this was the one on siting of solar projects and the procedure for it. I wasn't paying attention to what was in the bill. I just know that our committee sent it to the floor because they had no finance implications on, and through a technical glitch, it got sent to Finance, and we're just correcting the error in effect. We're not taking up the bill today or anything. It was just sending it to where the committee sent it.
On the HER motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Secretary will give Senate File 2483 its second reading.
Senate File Number 2483, a bill for an act relating to energy, regulating siting large electric power generating plants.
Second reading. Senator Bach. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Bach.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. And members, the list is on your desk.
The first bill under consideration is Senate House File 977, Number 10 on General Orders. Senator Franson.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam President. The bill before you, members, is the Revised Uniform Limited Liability Company Act. Just to give you a brief background, when Minnesota crafted its LLC law in the early 90s, it borrowed from corporate rather than partnership law. And over the past 20 years, it's become increasingly clear that Minnesota LLC law is isolated from the LLC law in other states, and the time has come to revise it. Members, the bill before you is a Uniform Laws Commission bill that has been already adopted in 9 jurisdictions, including California, District of Columbia, Florida, Idaho, Iowa, Nebraska, New Jersey, Utah, and Wyoming. This bill stems from the revised LLC Act, which was adopted by the Uniform Law Conference over a period of 3 years from 2004 to 2006. At that time, the drafting committee included experienced business lawyers as advisors from the American Bar Association, as well as commissioners from around the country. Subsequently, a committee of the business law section of the Minnesota State Bar Association did a 2-year study of the Uniform Act, made few changes to accommodate particular Minnesota issues, and strongly supports the bill in front of you today. I will briefly go over most noteworthy provisions of the bill, and then, Madam President, I would like to offer a technical amendment to adjust some references and some minor changes that are required and were brought to me by the Office of the Secretary of State. Article 1 comprises of the Revised Uniform Liability Company Act and is divided into 11 parts. The first part is general provisions and deals with the operating agreement, which is the pivotal document in an LLC. Section 2, it's the formation, articles of organization, and other filings. It sets the basic mechanics for forming the entity. Section 3, it's relations of members, managers, and governors to persons dealing with limited liability company. It deals with the public filing authorized to clarify authority of persons to bind the LLC, sets a corporate-like liability shield for members, does not shield a member against the consequences of the member's own misconduct. Section 4, it's the relations of members to each other and to limited liability company. It equals economic right among members unless they are agreed otherwise. It sets the governance management rules for member-managed LLCs, member-managed LLCs, and the board member-managed LLCs. Equal governance rights among members unless they are agreed otherwise. It also sets standards of conduct for members, managers, and governors. Section 5 deals with the transferable interests of the rights and the rights of the transferees and creditor. It sets statutory restrictions on the transfer of management rights or complete membership interests to outsiders. the key protection for the pick-your-partner principle that is at the core of the law of partnerships and limited liability companies. Section 6, members' dissociation, it deals with the circumstances that cause a person to dissociate as a member and also consequences of dissociation. Section 7, dissociation winding up, sets the circumstances that cause a limited liability company to dissolve, not the end of the entity, but rather the beginning of the end. It sets mandatory and permissive aspects of winding up the LLC after dissolution. Section 8 deals with the foreign limited liability companies, sets the standards, provisions pertaining to LLCs organized under the law of another jurisdiction and doing business in Minnesota. Section 9, action by members, states the proper standard for determining when a member has the right to bring a direct suit, providing for a special litigation committee and establishing the basis on which a court will assess the committee's recommendations. Section 10 is merger, conversion, and domestication. It modernized the provisions for organic transactions. Conversions permit an LLC to change the type of entity and jurisdiction of formation it desires, in a single transaction rather than having to create a new company and merge the old company into the new one. Domestications provide a one-step method of changing jurisdiction. Section 11 deals with the nonprofit limited liability companies and, as requested by the Office of the Attorney General, replicates protections that exist in the current LLC statute. And lastly, miscellaneous provisions with dealing with the application of the new statute to pre-existing LLCs, providing a period during which these LLCs may opt into the new statute and a date on which this new statute applies to all pre-existing LLCs, regardless of whether they have opted in. Finally, members, the effective date of this bill is August 1st, 2015, when all new LLCs as of this date will need to comply with the new statute. And as of January 1st of 2018, it's the phased-in period, all LLCs will need to adjust to the new statute. Members, I urge your support and stand for questions. I do want to mention that this bill has been thoroughly revised by the Minnesota State Bar Association, the business section, professors of law at William Mitchell College of Law, practitioners in the field for many of the local law firms, and it also has been vetted by the Secretary of State. With that, members, I offer the A1 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Franzen moves to amend House File Number 977 as follows. Page 4, delete subdivision 21 and insert. And this is the A1 amendment.
Senator Franzen on the A1 amendment.
Madam President, as I mentioned earlier, the changes came to me from the Office of the Secretary of State, and they are accepted also by the Minnesota State Bar Association. They're technical changes that need to be made in order to have the proper references and clarify some definitions. It's minor technical changes.
Are there any questions on the A1 amendment? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator, or could I ask Senator Franzen a question?
Senator Franzen will yield. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Franzen, I listened carefully to the description of your amendment. You stated that, for the most part, this amendment is all technical. Could you confirm for me whether or not there's any other policy changes in it or would affect policy changes from your original bill?
Senator Franzen.
Madam President, Senator Limmer, I spoke to the legal advisor for the Secretary of State this morning, Bert Black, and he assured me that this were specific provisions that needed to be done that were minor and technical. I also spoke to Senate counsel as well, and that's what I was told, that there were technical and minor changes that needed to be done to this bill.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Another question for Senator Franzen.
Senator Franzen will yield. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Franzen, with the addition of this amendment, if it would pass, does it change anything in the uniformity of what you're trying to accomplish? You made mention that the bill itself was a request to make the law uniform and that it follows a standard that's recognized in other states. Would this amendment change the uniformity that you're seeking by the potential passage of the bill.
Senator Franson.
Madam President, Senator Limmer, no, it does not.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Franson yield?
Senator Franson will yield. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Franson, I just want to make sure that I understand correctly. There is a bar association bill, Senate File 1979, that is also in the loop. And the amendment, the A1 amendment, is a request from the Secretary of State's office. Both your bill, 977, and my bill, 1979, are Bar Association requests. And I just want to make sure and confirm that the Bar Association is aware of this amendment and is in support of it, given the fact that they are also have brought forth Senate File 1979.
Senator Franson.
My question is the Bar Association aware of your amendment, and do they support it?
Senator Franson.
Madam President, Senator, I spoke to or communicated with the Bar Association representatives this morning, Mr. Dan Kleinberger, who's part of the coalition and also part of the business law section, and Mr. Bill Klein as well, and they're both aware of this amendment and in support of it.
Thank you, Senator Franson. Thank you, Madam President.
Is there any more discussion on the A1 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Is there any discussion on the bill on House File 977? Senator Westrom.
Madam President, would the author yield?
Senator Westrom.
Madam President, Senator Franson, will there be any changes to how income is reported for members of an LLC or an organization? Is there any changes that are going to occur because of this that we should be aware of?
Senator Franson.
Madam President, Senator Westrom, the major changes in this bill, they won't change the operating agreements with an LLC. If there's an operating agreement, they have time to phase in to adopt the new law, but it does not have any tax changes that we are aware of. The main provisions or main changes are entirely current statute establishes a detailed corporate-like governance structure, which can be changed only by careful drafting. This bill would defer almost entirely to the members' agreement. And the statute would provide default rules for matters not covered under the agreement. The second change is under the current law, allocation is per capita and decisions are by majority vote. In this piece, in this bill, one person, one vote, and equal share of profits will be the allocation. So those are the main changes on the uniform bill. I'm not aware of any tax implications on this bill. It's basically changing the old LLC law with the revised LLC to make it easier for practitioners.
Senator Westrom.
Madam President, one more question. Senator Franson, my understanding is current LLCs will be able to operate under the rules that they organized under, or they can opt into this. Is that correct? It's the new and future LLCs that would be subject to the revision. Is that correct?
Senator Franson.
Madam President and Senator Westrom, as of August 1st, 2015, any new LLC will have to use this new LLC law. And there is a phase-in period for the old LLCs, quote-unquote, if this bill passes. And they will have until 2018 to be able to phase in. For example, if a LLC is organized and filed with the Secretary of State, they will be able to continue their operating agreements and they can opt in into phasing in with the default rules, but it won't change their operating agreement.
So, Madam President,
Senator Westrom.
Senator Franson, follow up to that question. If she'll yield.
Senator Franson will yield. Senator Westrom.
Senator Franson, So they're going to be opting in. What kind of cost will anybody with an LLC have to incur, or will they be able to do nothing, and the law will just trump it? I'm just concerned for those current businesses that now may have a new cost added onto them by 2018. In response to your last answer, can you give us more assurance or clarity or understanding of what kind of costs we're going to be imposing, or requirements they will have to follow to update their LLC? If you can give us that insight for all of us, have members, lots of businesses, small businesses particularly, really have used the LLC as a good option for running a small business as well as larger businesses. But there are thousands of these new structures throughout our state, and I'm just concerned and want to make sure we've got clear understanding of what they're going to have to do. Senator Franson, if you could give us that insight.
Madam President, Senator Westrom, I have been confirmed that there will be no costs for businesses. There were some tax practitioners on the drafting committee, and no tax ramifications were brought up in terms of any impact to existing or future LLCs under this new law. So there are no costs to businesses under this new act.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, would the author yield for a question?
The author will yield. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Franzen, we often pay attention and listen to proposals that are considered, like yours, another statute reflecting the need for uniform law in the United States. This, too, is a uniform law request. The question I have is how uniform is this law? How many other states have adopted this very same language? Could you tell me that?
Senator Franzen.
Madam President, Senator Limmer, part of my testimony in the beginning, I mentioned the 9 jurisdictions have adopted this new law, including California, District of Columbia, Florida, Idaho, Iowa, Nebraska, New Jersey, Utah, and Wyoming.
Senator Limmer.
Madam President, the reason I raise that question is oftentimes we don't ask. And oftentimes the uniformity issue is one that is sometimes non-existent. We in the state of Minnesota might be the very first state that's considering a uniform law. And so the question of uniformity should be the one that we should question first and foremost. 9 states are beginning to move in this direction. I think Senator Franzen has made a good case for this particular bill, but it is a separate issue that we should consider. Are we at the front of the line, or are we at the end of the line? And has there been any other questions raised by other states that we have missed? Oftentimes when we're at the front of the line, we don't always cover every single nuance of a bill. So in the future, I or others should always ask that question: how uniform is this going to be in reference to the 50 other states? Having said that, I believe this bill stands on its own as a good law for bringing uniformity and the ability to transfer commerce to and from other states with this particular language.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 977 its third reading.
House File number 977, a bill for an act relating to business organizations, regulating the organization and operation of limited liability companies.
The Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 67 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is Senate File 1747, number 8 on general orders, Senator Saxhog.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Senate File 1747 clarifies when an environmental impact statement is required. Under current law, a mandatory environmental impact statement is not required for plants located outside the 7-county metro area that produce less than 125 million gallons of ethanol, biobutanol, or cellulosic biofuel annually. Senate File 1747 adds to the exemption facilities that annually produce less than 400,000 tons of biochemicals and expands the types of plants under this exception to biorefineries that use cellulosic feedstock / woody biomass. The bill was heard in Senator Marty's Environment and Energy Committee, where the Pollution Control Agency testified in support of the language. To be clear, Senate File 1747 simply clarifies that legislation enacted last year to facilitate permitting of a possible cellulosic biofuel facility outside the 7-county metro area applies to a biorefinery using cellulosic feedstock, woody biomass. This will help the wood products industry, which is the fourth largest industry in the state, employing over 40,000 people. It will continue to promote the healthy, sustainable, multi-use forests and help us reduce our dependence on oil while protecting and creating jobs in northern Minnesota. Thank you, Madam President. I'd stand for questions.
Is there any discussion on Senate File 1747? Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 1747 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1747, a bill for an act relating to environment, modifying environmental review requirements for chemical production using cellulosic feedstock.
Secretary will take the roll. The Secretary will close the roll. There being 67 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is Senate File 2108, number 26 on general orders, Senator Latz.
Madam President and members, Senate File 2108 will require out-of-state businesses to comply with Minnesota law when they terminate sales representative agreements. Currently, if you are a Minnesota-based sales representative, either individually or a company that represents out-of-state product manufacturers or businesses, for example, a California company or a Wyoming company, you don't have the protection of Minnesota law, because in most of your sales rep agreements with that out-of-state company, they have a provision which says that your employment circumstances are governed by the law in the home state of that out-of-state business. We don't think that's fair to Minnesota-based businesses or sales representatives, and so this bill prohibits those provisions in those contracts, so that if you are a Minnesota-based sales representative, you will have the benefit of the law in Minnesota where you're doing your work and where you live. So that's very simply what the bill is before you. I'm not aware of any opposition to this bill. I'd welcome your questions and ask for your support. Thank you.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 2108 its third reading.
Senate File Number 2108, a bill for an act relating to commerce, prohibiting certain practices in connection with the sales representative agreement.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted. Secretary will close the roll. There being 67 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special order is the Senate File 2571, number 92 on general order. Senator Champion.
Thank you, Madam President. And I want to, first of all, I want to thank my colleagues on the Senate Judiciary for approving this bill. This is just a technical bill. It makes no substantive changes. And the purpose is to enable the judicial branch to transmit necessary information more efficiently to the Driver's Vehicle Services Division of DVS of the Department of Public Safety. This bill addresses limitations of the judicial branch and DVS information systems only, and our unintended consequence of reformatting of the criminal vehicular homicidal operation statute in 2007. Currently, the court can electronically transmit the charge filed for the crimes of criminal vehicular homicidal operations to DVS. However, DVS cannot accept electronically the penalty provisions, which indicates whether there has been death or a degree of injury. The period of a driver's license is revoked for a conviction of Minnesota Statute 609.21 depends on whether there was a death or injury. This legislation will separate only the two offenses into two separate sections to enable the court to send a single offense code in the notice of convictions to DVS and eliminate the need of court staff to use a manual workaround. The court and DVS believe that this is the most cost-efficient way to transmit the necessary information to DVS. Also, separation of the two offenses will allow for more accurate information being provided in public court calendars. Thus, judges, court staff, and the public do not mistake a criminal vehicular operation case for a more serious criminal vehicular homicide case. Also, this bill was amended as requested by the Minnesota County Attorneys Association to clarify that the 2012 version of these statutes still applied to those convicted under them as an enhancement under ADWI. So I would appreciate a green vote. It's just a technical change. That's all it is. Thank you.
Is there any discussion on Senate File 2571? Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 2571 its third reading.
Senate File number 2571, a bill for an act relating to public safety, providing technical amendments to criminal vehicular homicide or operation statute.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 66 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is Senate File 2221, number 29 on general orders. Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate File 2221 contains changes to the drainage law. The bill represents the recommendations of the drainage work group, which includes representatives from all the stakeholder groups. Members should have a handout on your desk. Those members include drainage authorities, farm groups, environmental groups, state agencies, and members of the legislature. Their work is facilitated by the Board of Water and Soil Resources, and a lot of time and effort goes into finding consensus on these provisions. The bill was heard and approved in both Ag and the Environment Committees. Section 1 modifies criteria that must be considered before a drainage project begins, and also updates the criteria to make the wording consistent with other laws. Section 2 directs the Drainage Authority to investigate external sources of funding for alternative water management prior to a project. Section 3 clarifies the inclusion of repairs and wetlands in the subdivisions, and Sections 4 through 14 update the rest of the drainage law to reflect the name change in Section 1. With that, Madam President, that's the bill. These provisions were recommendations of the Drainage Work Group. We have passed similar legislation. This is the fourth time we're trying it, and I would ask for member support.
Are there any questions? Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. And would the Senator yield for a question?
Senator Sparks will yield. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Sparks for yielding. Just a real quick question. I see you have the Fish and Wildlife Legislative Alliance as one of your supporters. Can you tell me if you have had any conversations with, and I've not been asked to ask this question, by the way. I'm just asking you because I'm in that arena an awful lot. But Ducks Unlimited, Pheasants Forever, Deer Hunters Association, have they been talked about with this? The reason I ask that, Senator, is there's been some recent discussions amongst the sporting groups about drainage in Minnesota and specifically the western portion of our state where I actually come from, and some concerns about not bringing it back to the natural state, and certainly I understand the ag community wanting to get more out of their properties and whatnot. But have you talked to them at all? Are they okay with this?
Senator Sparks.
Madam President, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I'm not sure exactly if the Ducks Unlimited organization was involved with this discussion, but I know that Bowser facilitates it, and this work group has been meeting for quite a while. The DNR is a state agency that is involved as well, so I guess I can't answer your question directly as to whether the Ducks Unlimited or Pheasants Forever were a part of that.
Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 2221 its third reading.
Senate File Number 2221, a bill for an act relating to water, modifying drainage system provisions.
Any further discussion? Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is House File 183, number 38 on general orders. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President and members. What House File 183 seeks to respond to are some of the incidents and issues that we've become aware of over the last couple of years around the inappropriate use of data, secured data on individuals by public employees. We all are aware of some of the more high-profile episodes that have shown up in the newspaper with state employees and local law enforcement and some others, and they've actually incurred some significant liability and exposure for our taxpayers. Also, Madam President, members, the legislative auditor did a fairly extensive and thorough review of this subject and issued a report, a program report, and came out with some recommendations. This bill responds to some of those recommendations, but not all of them. And so, to be sure, more work is going to have to be done at some point in the future. Just very quickly, what this bill proposes to do is require procedures to ensure public data is accessible only to those individuals who have that authority and only for their work assignments specifically. Make sure that an intent to cause harm is not a factor in determining whether the data acquisition is unauthorized, but rather it shows that the data was accessed for either by an unauthorized person or for a purpose not specific to the work task at hand. It provides for some notice of investigations when these situations come to light. Both public notice as well as how individuals can receive notice on the results of an investigation when these problems crop up. And finally, it provides for some substitute notice if individual notice by U.S. mail proves to be overly burdensome or too expensive. That actually is an existing provision in law, but Madam President, what we also accomplish in this bill is, of course, the statute was written to state agencies, and we know that what's occurring is the decentralization of some of these databases used by local units of government utilizing state databases, and so make sure that we're talking about all public employees who are using this data. Finally, it does provide some accountability if someone knowingly uses data in an unauthorized manner, provides some accountability, some penalty, and provides for their termination if need be. Madam President, that's my bill, and I'll stand for questions.
Are there any questions? Seeing no further discussion, the Secretary will give House File 183 its third reading.
House File Number 183, a bill for an act relating to data practices, enhancing certain penalties and procedures related to unauthorized access to data by a public employee.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the Secretary, wait. The Secretary will close the roll. There being 66 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The last bill on special orders is Senate Bill 2162, number 27 on general orders. Senator Hayden.
Good, well,
members,
thanks.
Just a minute. Members, maybe just hang in here because this might go very quickly and then we don't have to wait for you to come back.
Well, thank you, Madam President. I hope that this goes very quickly. 2162 is a bill modifying the multi-jurisdictional reinvestment program of Hennepin County. The bill specifically does a number of things, but I'll highlight just a few. It partners Hennepin County and other political subdivisions, thus eliminating a need for cumbersome third-party agreements. It adds watershed districts to the list of political subdivisions that Hennepin County can partner with. Finally, it eliminates confusion by replacing prescriptive language with permissive language. This bill will help streamline how Hennepin County can partner with others to create jobs and spur economic development. Thank you for your support.
Are there any questions? Is there any discussion? The Secretary will give Senate File 2162 its third reading.
Senate File Number 2162, a bill for an act relating to Hennepin County, modifying the Multi-Jurisdictional Reinvestment Program.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 50 ayes and 17 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator, announcements of Senate interest. Are there any announcements? Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, the Environment, Economic Development, and Agricultural Finance Division will meet the immediately following session in room 107.
Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senator Bach from 11:45 to 11:55. Are there any other announcements? Senator Bach.
Madam President, I'd like to move for a recess of the Senate. Members, we're going to come back this afternoon after the Rules Committee meets. There's a couple of committee reports that we need to process coming out of Rules, but don't anticipate any other business than that. So, Madam President, I move a recess of the Senate to the call of the Chair. You will hear, if you watch your email, you'll see a time. I expect maybe between 3 and 4 o'clock.
On the motion to recess, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess.
Remaining under motions and resolutions, we will revert to the fifth order of business, reports of committee. The Secretary will read the reports.
Senator Bach from the Committee on Rules and Administration, to which was referred under Rule 21, together with the committee report thereon. Senate File Number 2128, a bill for an act relating to the state lottery, prohibiting online sale of lottery tickets. Reports the same back with the recommendation that the report from the Committee on State and Local Government, shown in the Journal for March 24, 2014, be amended to read, the bill be amended, and when so amended, the bill do pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the committee report read by the Secretary be adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. The motion prevails. 13th order of business, announcement of Senate interest. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the Senate do now adjourn until Thursday, April 3rd, 12 noon.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. We are adjourned.